Yeah, I'm going to start and then Lisa will chime in. So it's always great to be here, and thank you, Lisa, Lorraine Smith, for your comments. But I think I speak for Lisa, and I'll let her speak herself. But we really enjoy this. This is a highlight for us. We love this group. We love, connecting with everybody. It's just wonderful to see people across the country share ideas, et cetera. So we are more than happy to put in the time and effort because it's really a fun and engaging opportunity. So let me just say that, and also a little bit about what we're going to do today. This is our, yes, as Lisa said, our sort of end of the year gathering. So we're going to take a chance to do our usual sort of check-in, which I like to do with everybody, and it's a small group, so that should be nice. I'm going to give a couple of updates with regard to some things that are coming up in the conference and all that kind of thing, so everybody can be updated on that. I'm going to give Lisa a chance to speak about any sort of thoughts and comments to wrap up or to kind of consolidate what we did last month about assessments. And then it'll be an open forum. I have a couple of thoughts and ideas to share, but we're not limited to that, but sort of letting people sort of talk about other things that might be relevant to them as we kind of wrap up the year. So that's kind of what we'll have together in our time. So, if that sounds good to everybody, we can start with a kind of a welcome check-in. And you may recall last month I had everybody just say a word, a phrase, just a couple of comments about it was around Thanksgiving time. And so, thinking about any thoughts that came to mind in general, just a real quick, introduction, where you're from. We do see everybody, I think, they put their where they're from in their name, which is great. And just say a word or two, a phrase or two that you want to mention with regard to the holidays coming up in whatever way you celebrate. So whatever form, if you're celebrating now, if you're celebrating in a few weeks, just share with us any thoughts that come to mind. And then I'm also going to ask you, just in one word, to say what your first job was that you remember. Okay. And so that's all you have to say. And then we'll come back to that later in the call. All right. So I'll start. So Amy Mazur, I'm a lead career counselor at JVS Boston in Boston. And I would say a phrase or word that I would use to describe this holiday time for me is, how is this Hanukkah different from all other Hanukkahs? That's my phrase. And I'm going to say that my first job was I worked at a McDonald's in Ann Arbor. When Lisa Lorraine Smith and I went to University of Michigan at the same time, I worked as a, cashier at McDonald's. That's my first job. Okay, I'm going to go around. So, let me, Lisa A, you can go next.
Hi, everybody. Oh boy, what am I celebrating? I am celebrating Christmas this year. And I found that honestly, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday because of gratitude. But I really anticipated Christmas this year, in terms of finding a little bit of joy and a little bit of understanding life aside from what is here on earth. I don't know, I was just looking forward to some of the cheer, the good parts of Christmas this year, and I'm still looking forward to it. So my first job, I worked at a fast food restaurant called Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips. Some of you, I see some nods. You may remember it. And it was very 70s in all its forms. Sometimes I think it was like a bad scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but I remember it with great affection. So.
Great, thank you. Barbara.
Okay, so I work at Domit's in Montreal. I'm manager of employability services, and I also manage a caseload of clients at the same time. So we're celebrating Hanukkah this year, but celebrating virtually for the first time on Zoom, which is quite challenging. And also sad. I find it very sad. We're in lockdown here in Montreal. We're not allowed to have anybody in our house. We're not allowed to go to anybody's house at the same time to have a new granddaughter. And it's very difficult getting to know her on FaceTime. It's a very challenging time for all of us. So all my children live in Montreal. We all live here, but they could be living in California at this point because we can only see each other on Zoom. So it's hard. It's hard, I have to say. And my first job was working in the cosmetics counter at a store. Now it's known as the Bay, but then it was called Morgan's. So you're nodding, Lisa, because you're from Montreal. But it's, yeah, so that was my first job.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, Gary, you're next.
Hey, thanks. I'm Gary Lashow. I'm with Jevs in Philadelphia, and I'm a job development specialist celebrating Hanukkah. And to be honest, ever since the kids have been out of the house, Hanukkah, really not the biggest holiday here, but it's still nice. Got a vaccine on the first night of Hanukkah, so that's a miracle. And hopefully that bodes better days ahead. My first job was an editor of a weekly newspaper, making God knows how little, but learning a lot about public relations, communications, and it really set me up well for future jobs.
Great, thank you, Gary.
Sure.
Mazel tov on the vaccine, that's exciting. That's good. Pam, you're next.
I'm Pam Day from JFCS in Pittsburgh, and I'm a career consultant. Celebrating Christmas, not quite sure how that's going to look, but we'll figure it out. I would say we did have a wonderful holiday party at JFCS. We did a virtual escape room. It was quite fun. So if anybody's looking for something different to do, it worked out quite well in the virtual world. First job was a lifeguard and swim coach.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Okay, Sandra.
Hey, am I audible now?
Yes.
I am. Awesome. Okay. So I run the Relaunch Career Services program at JFCS in Teaneck, New Jersey. And Lisa, yes, we are very close to one another, but I had no volume before for some reason. Celebrating Hanukkah, and it's too fast, as it always is. I find like you turn around and you're lighting the eighth candle all of a sudden. I think of it like the way my kids were three and now they're all grown up, like TikTok. My first job I did on weekends, I did manual inventory at supermarkets because my brother did it. And he told me I could make $3.25 an hour, which was awesome. So I did that for a few years.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Christy.
Hey everyone, I'm Christy. I am the Career Services Manager at JFCS Louisville. We are just like everyone else trying to figure out how to do this whole holiday thing, but something that is pretty exciting, the Louisville Ballet is offering their performance of the Nutcracker virtually. So this Friday, my mom and my five-year-old daughter and my sister-in-law are going to watch it from the comfort of our own home and make hot cocoa and try to kind of get in the spirit that way. So I think it should be fun and probably actually more enjoyable without all the crowds. So my very first job was as a dance teacher. When I was in high school, I used to assist some of the other dance teachers. And then I got my very first class of my own when I was a senior in high school, 6-year-olds doing ballet. It was honestly the worst job I've ever had. They were very sweet and very cute, but they drove me crazy because 6-year-olds in ballet don't really mix.
All right, thank you. Welcome, Cindy. You may have figured out what we're doing. We're saying, you know, who we are, where we are, you know, what thoughts come to mind for the holiday in general, and then your first job.
Cindy Key. Jewish Family and Career Services Louisville, career counselor, career coach, and holiday, I'm just trying to relax and not add stress to me or anybody else around me in this season. And be sure that, I think one of the blessings out of this year has been that there's been a lot of grace extended. And I think, and in fact, I shared with someone this morning, I hope that that's one of the gifts that we carry over into the new year and every year after, is that we continue to extend that kind of grace beyond.
Amen to that.
Yeah, we have a couple people in our neighborhood that have definitely been alone all year, and I think we've tried to figure out what we might do, kind of at least to be sure that they're not 100% alone for the next couple weeks. we may do something that way. And my first job was as a swim coach, teaching swim lessons, and a lifeguard.
Okay.
All combined into one.
Great, thank you.
And running the concession stand.
Yeah.
At the pool.
That's critical. Thank you.
Yep.
Welcome, Phyllis. If you want to share with us, that'd be great. Can you
hold on 1 sec?
You just muted yourself, Phyllis.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'm Phyllis Runyon. I'm a career counselor with JBS at Southfield, Michigan. This Christmas, I think I'm just going to focus on being warm and cozy with some really great comfort food. And looking forward to January 2021. Hopefully, great things are going to come for all of us, right? My first job was as a sales associate with Dimensions in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hey, great.
Huh. Did you ever go there?
Who are you asking?
Amy. No,
I don't remember. Do you remember that, sir? Okay, yeah. Anyway, okay. Sherry, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. My name is Sherry James. I'm a career counselor at JBS Detroit. And I celebrate Christmas. And so this year, I am trying to be grateful for what I have. And I'm going to Zoom for the first time with our families. We did a Thanksgiving too. So it was nice to see their faces, but it will be nice when COVID's over to see them in person. So, and my first job, we were just talking about this in another group. I corn detasseled. I'm from Wisconsin and everybody corn detasseled. You take the tops of the tassels off and walk through the fields all day long. So.
Wow.
What is that? What did she do?
You in the field, you know those yellow tassels on the top of the corn? You rip those off and every single stalk. I know it sounds like it's ridiculous, but I'm from Wisconsin and that's what we all did.
Oh, I see. Tassels off of corn.
Okay. Or corn detasseling, yes.
Corn detasseling. Uh-huh. Okay. That's a good one for a resume. Wow, yeah. Haven't heard that one. That's good.
It's only if you're from like the Midwest do people really know what that is, or from Toronto. Somebody I was talking to, she knows because they did it in Toronto. So
that's funny.
Okay, great. Judy.
So I'm Judy Sachs from JBS in Boston, and I'm currently the Jewish community liaison. Formerly worked with Amy Mazur, director of professional career services, and then before the director of refugee services. And I just got back last night from Los Angeles. I just took a chance. I had to see my grandchildren for Hanukkah. And for me, the mental health was more at risk than my physical health, and at least in my mind. And I love Hanukkah because I love the lights, and you light one more candle each night. And in this family, everybody has their own menorah. You could either light the house on fire or you could be very careful. And it's just beautiful when you light all the lights. And my first job was at an overnight camp. I was a counselor, and that's the camp I later met my husband at.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Lisa, you want to take a turn?
So I love Hanukkah because I love those donuts. I mean, I'm telling you, 10 pounds later, I mean, you know, those souvganiyot, now they're getting better and better and bigger and bigger. So we have one a night and all different flavors. I live in an area where there's a lot of Jewish kosher stores. So they have a lot of donuts flown and they're so good. Okay, so that's Hanukkah. And my first job was like some of you here, lifeguard. And that's what I did. But yeah. I bet none of you have a record still in your hometown pool for six and under 15.3 seconds. Ooh. Freestyle has never been broken in like 40 years, or I'm saying even longer, 50 some years. But anyway, so that was I was at the peak of my career was six and under.
Is that on your resume?
It should be, but it's not.
Lisa also worked at a radio station in Boston. I remember.
Oh, yeah. But that wasn't my first job.
Okay. Thank you. Great job, everybody. All right. We will come back to that if we have time later. I hope we do. I'll make time. So a couple of updates I wanted to share. Number one, I hope folks have been keeping up with the information that's coming out of NJHSA with regard to the conference. And the fact that we are excited by any submissions that the workforce development folks make in terms of proposals for the conference workshop proposals, the 75 minutes or the program showcases. So just wanted to do a plug for that. And the extension of the submissions has been extended. The submissions have been extended. So you have now till the end of the year, December 31st. So very easy to do it. They made it easy for us. So I just want to encourage us to be well represented. And if you have questions or need any help with anything, feel free to reach out to me or Lisa A or Lisa Smith, because it'd be great to have, again, a good representation from this this group and this part of NJHSA. So that's my plug. Also wanted to remind folks that tomorrow at 12 o'clock, our affinity group is sponsoring a 1 hour webinar where we've invited JDC Israel, the Tevet division. They're coming and they're going to do a webinar to talk about their program. Specifically, the Tevet division is a part of JDC Israel, which is an organization, a social service organization, a large social service organization in Israel. And Tevet is the employment division. And they're going to be talking about their programs. They have some really interesting things going on and their response to COVID in Israel. So we're excited to co-sponsor that or sponsor that as our affinity group. And if you haven't registered, you can go to the website calendar at NJHSA and do that, and or email me and I'll send you the link. Lisa probably too. So looking forward to anybody who can join that. Just listen in or bring your questions. And then lastly, I want to give you a little heads up in terms of next year for our group. We're going to be shifting to meeting every other month, which is the pattern that all affinity groups are going to be taking on in at NJHSA. So we will not be meeting in January. We'll be meeting, our date is February 17th. And
February 10th, Amy.
Excuse me, February 10th. I'm sorry, I'd already written that down before we changed it. I'm sorry, February 10th. Wednesday, February 10th at our 1 o'clock time. And again, we will send you out reminders and we're very excited. Lisa August is working on a really great possible speaker. We'll give you more details as we get that finalized, but it'll really be a great opportunity to hear from one of our colleagues and someone who's quite quite accomplished in the area of career counseling and refugees. And it'll be really an opportunity for us to all be together again in February and learn together. So February 10th, and then we probably, the next month would have been April, obviously every other month, but because of the conference, we're gonna do May. and that's gonna be May, what did we say, 19th?
19th.
May 19th, and we'll keep you posted on that one as well. So just hold those two dates for next year, February 10th and May 19th. We'll have a chance to all be together again. Sorry, there's one more thing I wanted to mention, that many of you are going to be involved with the with the WIN initiative trainings, and those will be at the end of July, not July, sorry, January. That night, there'll be a 90-minute training, and if you have expressed interest, we'll be in touch with you about the final date for that. It has not been set yet. We're meeting with NJHSA beginning of next week, and we'll be in touch about that. Lisa, you wanted to make an announcement, and actually I'm going to turn it over to you, Lisa, because you can make your announcement and then we can, you can talk about kind of an assessment overview if you'd like. So I'm going to let Lisa. Go ahead.
It's okay. So even I get confused about the Lisa sometimes, so it's okay if y'all do. Amy, should I talk a little bit about assessment, a little bit of a follow-up?
Yeah. Did you have something else you wanted to add, or do you want? Yes, I'm turning it over to you to do that now, if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't think I had an announcement. Did I miss something? Okay. Well, yes, yeah, sort of, but okay. hi, everybody. I am so sorry that I missed our November meeting, but my mother had what it turned out to be a TIA, a stroke, in the morning. And I think if there's one thing that we have all learned from the pandemic, if we didn't know it before, is that first things come first. And my mama always comes first. I have to admit, she's not replaceable. And the professional in me was very torn, and the daughter in me knew where I had to be. So I appreciate your understanding. One of the things that I want to say is that if you haven't listened to the recordings of this group, if you miss a meeting or there was a topic that you really enjoyed, the recordings of the sessions are all available on the network website. And they're excellent. I was so glad that I had the opportunity to go back on and catch up on what was discussed. I found myself very frustrated, though, because I wanted to dialogue with all of you. As I listened to it, I wanted to make comments and I wanted to be a part of it. I felt like I was watching a sports team playing and I wanted to shout and say, oh, that's a great idea. Oh my goodness. It, you know, so it I felt really geeky, but I enjoyed listening to it. And I, Lisa Smith, I really appreciate the ability to go back and listen to it. So again, little plug for the recordings, because I think it can be helpful, again, if you miss a meeting, but also there is a topic you really like, to go back and get some more information. So I loved and enjoyed the discussion. And I thought the presentation that I had prepared had set up some formalities and some framework and some ways to think about assessment in terms of, you know, sometimes we assess for personal growth, but sometimes we also assess for our funders. Sometimes we report and we have things that we need to determine. And very much it can be kind of a blended effort also. So I felt like you all went a little bit more advanced than where I had started in the presentation, because I wanted to give it some structure. What I'm planning to do is add a couple of things. I've started, I haven't finished it yet. Amy or Lisa did a list of the assessments that were mentioned. I really loved how it was broken out in terms of interest, personality, skills. Barbara, was it you that was talking? Was it this Barbara Stern? There was somebody who talked in depth about the type of assessments they use, and I thought it was a Barbara.
No, it was Deborah Silver.
Deborah, I'm sorry. Okay, not Barbara, Deborah, hello, okay. I just wanted to make a note of that, but it was set up very much in some of the ways that my presentation originally was. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to add some information to that sheet. I will have Lisa Smith email it around to everybody. And I think it'll be a good reference tool for us. Part of the reason that I had brought up this topic initially and was interested in speaking about it with everybody is that when I started at JFS 5 years ago, I walked into a program that had languished a little bit. And I came into all of these out of date assessments, a massive number of assessments, but also some really good and some really rich information. And almost my first year in the job, I had to figure out what this assessment program would look like, what we needed. One of the things that was also an issue for me was the cultural competency and the ability to assess in the face of diversity of some of the assessments. So I think that for small offices in particular, really, although for any office with all the demands that are going on right now, I think that it can be very difficult to stay on top of assessment and to know what's happening out there and what's new. And so one of the things that I was thinking about is that if there were some among us in this group who were particularly interested in assessments and putting their finger into it now and then, that we could create a small subset working group of people who were kind of the assessment keepers and stayed on top of it, you know, so that maybe once a year we would give the rest of the group assessment update, or when we see something new or interesting, or there was a demo, that we could let the other members of the group know. Now, I'm happy to have that up as part of my co-chair work and as leadership within the group. I'm not looking for this to be anything that requires a lot of work, but just maybe looking for other people that are interested in being a little bit geeky with me and continuing the conversation. Because sometimes either, again, it's hard to stay on top of, sometimes purchasing in bulk or purchasing as a consortium could be a good idea. Lisa's like, what is she talking about? Maybe, but
well, that's okay. We can talk about that. It could be something.
But what I mean is,
could do. I mean, you know.
Well, no, it's the kind of thing that sometimes if you go to an assessment publisher and you say, "Hey, there are five of us that are going to make individual purchases," that we all can get a little bit of a break. So it wasn't anything formal that I envisioned the network doing, but. I mean, these are all possibilities, or that some of the test publishers would say, yes, I'd be happy to do a demo for the 10 of your agencies that are interested. So again, I'm not looking to make this anybody's second job, but if anybody is interested in following up on assessments and doing a little bit of subset work group with me, that would be great. I'll talk a little bit further with Amy. Amy and I talked about it briefly. But I could put a little something together and people can let me know. And if nobody's interested in it, that's cool. That's fine.
Okay. Well, I think that's fine. Give me that information. I can send it out to the group. They can respond to you and I can be a part of that. And the network potentially could do something. So yeah, it's not so far afield. Or no, you guys could do it alone, but we don't have to talk about it.
We can talk about that little. I didn't want to put anything else on your plate, but it was a little bit more of a, you know, thing that a few of us might be interested in talking about separately from the meeting. So, yeah. So thank you all for sharing the information and the richness of that last discussion. And I was really sorry I missed it, but I'm happy to keep
it
going.
We missed you.
Yeah, that was, thank you, Lisa. And thank you for your efforts. And I want to second it. We did speak and I think it's a great idea. I like the idea of kind of the subgroup and then people who are interested can meet and then we have an update. I think that would be really good because I do think that there's a lot happening and we can all benefit from sort of knowing the latest and greatest, and there's a lot out there. So thank you for that. Great. All right. So if other people, as Lisa A said, Lisa S will get the information and share it with everybody when that sheet that list we started can be added to. Great. All right. So this is now we have a chance to kind of check in with everybody. If there's any pressing issues, if there are anything you want to talk about, any updates in your agencies that you want to share related to workforce development, our topic, I have you know, if no one else has a topic, I have something that I could bring up based on some conversations we've had in the past. I noticed something, it made me think about some things, but I want to just give people a chance. I also want to have some time at the end to sort of finish up what we were starting at the beginning with my exercise, you know, with asking you about some of that stuff. So I'll watch the time too, but giving you all a chance. Does anybody have any burning issue or anything they'd like to talk about? Or here's an opportunity to be with colleagues to talk about something that, you know, sparks your interest.
Yeah, people have something to say.
Yeah.
I have a question or a thought.
Go ahead.
Go, Gary, and then Sherry, it looked like. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sherry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Gary. It's okay.
Okay. So with COVID and all of the pandemic and everything going on, we thought we were going to be flooded right now. We just thought we were going to have so many clients. And I was just wondering to get a feel from all of you based on, you know, the unemployment checks that have gone out, and there needs to be more. So hopefully they'll pass another package and all that. I'm just wondering, are you seeing a strong influx in people? We continue to push it down the road and then saying maybe in January, maybe in February, because we really staffed up even more for this. So I'm just wondering what you're sort of seeing in terms of, you know, enrollment.
Okay, well, here we have the same thing. Our intake is really, really, really low. And it's, I can say it's across Quebec, because we meet at a round table and all the agencies in Quebec are finding the same thing, all the government funded agencies. And I think a lot of this has to do because our government is paying all unemployed people. We've started with the CERB, and now they're on unemployment, so they get $900 every 2 weeks. And a lot of people, especially, well, I manage employability, and it's 45, if you're over the age of 45. So a lot of the people in our program are 55, 60, 65, and they would rather stay home. They're afraid. They'd rather stay home and collect the money than go and put themselves in an environment where they feel unsafe, or if they have to take public transportation. And right now with the numbers going spiking, they'd rather not work. So even the ones we have, so we're basing the ones that we have don't want to work, that are already in our caseloads, and people aren't coming and registering with us. So we're assuming that's the reason why. And probably when the government money runs out and they don't have any more income, then our intake numbers will go up.
Barbara, I'm curious. Thank you. And great question, Gary. And I'd like to hear from others. But I had a question for you, Barbara. You know, right now in the U.S., we're hoping that the Congress will, you know, get their act together and move forward with some more money. But is that going to happen? Is yours going to run out? Or
well, we're right now, it's till June.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, right now it's, yeah. Our government has spent billions and billions of dollars on this. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
okay,
thanks.
But I think, Gary, a lot of these agencies, I saw people nodding their head yes, like that's the same way in their own agencies. No one's really seen an uptick yet. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For Louisville, and I can tag in Cindy if she has anything else to add here too, but we've actually had a pretty steady amount of clients coming in for career services, but we've also created a program, kind of a bigger umbrella, that's called Family Strengthening, that incorporates career services, financial coaching, mental health counseling, kind of all the wraparound services, because we have the F and the C at one building. And what we've noticed in some of our clients is that they are in a place where career has to be somewhat put on hold because they are not stable in general. You know, that they need to just gain stability in general, whether that's housing, whether that's financial assistance, before they can even, and also in Louisville, we have been, our public schools have been on NTI, which is online schools, for the entire school year. So we have, unless they're in private school, you know, kids haven't been in school. So we've had a lot of parents struggling because someone has to stay home with the kids and get them on. So Cindy, I don't know if you have any other insight to that, but we have noticed that while our numbers are fairly steady and our fee-for-service numbers are pretty steady, which is kind of shocking, I think. Our grant funded services are almost more towards just getting people stable. And then I think once they get that stability, then we're prepared to help them with the career searches.
I like that wraparound service you were talking about. You know, that's
it's kind of exploded this year. Obviously, you know, the needs have gone way up, and we have just been really trying to adjust as an agency.
we got some grant money to actually provide to clients as financial assistance, which is something that we really historically have not had. So it's been a little bit of learning as we go to figure out, you know, there's on one side, there's a sense of like, yeah, we have all this money, give it. But then also is, you know, we have to be cautious about our funds and also how that money really helps clients. Cause sometimes, and we've discovered sometimes just throwing, I know this is a shock, but just throwing money at a problem does not solve everything. So having that,
not.
I know.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it's nice to be able to have that buffer for people, but then really tying it into goals and planning and all that other stuff. So.
Christy and Cindy, I had a question related to that. You said that it's steady. Was there a shift before pre-COVID and then after? Like, was it steady in a different way before COVID and now it's steady? And you know what I'm saying?
I think in the very beginning of the pandemic, and that was, I think, prior to Cindy joining the team, at the very beginning, you know, we started working remotely in March. It was pretty slow. I think everyone was shell-shocked. We didn't really know what to do. We actually created an online group called We're Listening. That was just like, we don't even, we don't know what to do either, but we just want to hear you guys out and listen to your concerns. And then we kind of crafted a workshop to help address those concerns afterwards. So it was slow. I'd say really since probably the end of summer, it has been pretty steady with our numbers. It's actually slightly increasing. I'm actually just looking at a list right now. It's been fairly consistent in people reaching out and then also booking appointments. So we've been able to kind of keep things going in our department.
Christy, I'll add, I think one of the interesting things is the number of people that are looking to transition into something different is probably a little on the uptick of what I've traditionally seen year to year. It, you know, people are always looking to do something else, but really leave the career path that they're on and do something very different is definitely on the uptick. It's probably a good 80% of the people that come in.
That's interesting. I would say that we've seen that in Boston, that there was a workshop called Your New Career that was prior to COVID, not as, it has been consistently a lot of people are attending more than before than used to. I mean, it's a now obviously, you know, a webinar and access, you know, makes it easy for people to come, but the numbers are staying high for that. Same thing. We're seeing that too. Yeah.
And teaching, people wanting to leave teaching in droves. Surprising not, but very interesting.
Yeah.
I believe it. I believe that.
In Michigan, we've had a lot of people, the same thing, that are interested in changing careers. I work with a lot of people that are working remotely and looking for a job. So it's kind of nice because they can plug into Zoom at their lunch hours. So we have a lot of people that are currently working. And then employment services is a little slower. But what we've seen is we've been doing a lot of webinars and people are watching the webinars online a lot. So we get a lot of traffic on the webinars. So.
Yeah. Good.
How, you were going to say something, Sherry. Did you have a question? Or?
Oh, I did have a question. So Debbie Silver, I work with Debbie Silver, and she said, because she worked with you guys last time with assessment, she had asked a question, if anybody is using any great tools for strengths, like strengths checklists. But we can kind of talk about that when we're finished. I don't want to interrupt this discussion, but that's really what my question was. Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else want to comment on Gary's initial question that we've all been taught? Any other thoughts? Lisa A?
We're seeing the same thing in Buffalo that I think they're seeing in Louisville, that a layoff or an impending layoff or the instability has forced the issue, that they generally say, well, I've been thinking about it, but now I know I really need to. And I want to, and we haven't really seen a slowdown in career decision making, and our slowdown placement really has been a little bit more due to the lack of refugees coming in, that we have a lot of employers that have low and semi-skilled positions, and we have employers that want to hire large groups of people, and they they aren't here. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that in the coming year. And then our in general, our placement clients are a little bit, well, wait and see, you know. I have a particularly heavy caseload of high school seniors right now, and trying to get them to do things on Zoom can be really challenging because they're crispy from distance learning. I do have one high school I go to, but you know, with remote learning, the lack of structure, but there's almost a disorientation in some way. So it's different with some populations.
People have had it. I think that there's just Zoom fatigue, you know, not just with us professionals, but with, you know, these kids online. It's too much. You know, you want to be social.
Well, or there's a skepticism sometimes about how much they're going to get out of it because some of them are not getting a lot out of their high school learning. It seems to be very uneven. And sometimes they say to me, this is really going to be worth my time. And then they engage and they find out it is. So I've just had that experience a number of times.
Okay. Feel free to chime in, but go ahead, Sherry, or let's all, you want to respond to Sherry's question again? Any assessments related to strengths? Is that what you were asking, or go ahead and reframe it?
Yeah. Any assessments? Because we have some that we were using, but they're not in a checkable PDF format, and we'd have to redesign them. So we just wondered if anybody had any good tools.
One of my favorites is an assessment from GIST called the Transferable Skills Survey. I think it's an outstanding list of. It's interesting to me they call it the Transferable Skills Survey when it's really, there is a mix of transferable and job-related skills. But I found that there's about 80 or 90 items on it, and I've been going through it with people verbally. And what's been fun about that is then I'm able to engage them in dialogue and get them to think a little bit more. Because if you say, what are you good at? They don't know. So I really like the TSS. I'd be happy to send a link to it to you, Sherry,
and
you can pass it along. I just like the list. It seems to work really well and gets people to think. And the groups, they're grouped into 8 different quadrants, and they also list it correlates with the world of work map in terms of, you know, people, ideas, data, and things. So I can have some of those substantive content, some of those substantive discussions with them also, and it ties into what I do with them in the Strong. And I'll take a look at some other things too for skills. One of the things that I used for skills assessment when I first came aboard was the ONET skills profiler, and I'm seeing some nods. That's not been updated, but it really worked well for me for a while. You know,
Lisa, can you be sure and put those on the list that you are adding to? Just because,
yeah, absolutely. I'm writing them right here.
You know, another resource you can look at, Sherry, is the National Career Development Association puts out a sort of like a directory of assessments. I'm not remembering the actual full title, but if you go to the ncda.org like bookstore, they have this directory of career assessments, and they do categorize them so that you could maybe find some there. And then they evaluate them every year. They update that. So that's a good.
And it's two forms now. I have the previous two books, because as I said, when I came aboard, I said, I got to figure this out. But what they've also gone to is both a printed version and an online version that stays up to date. But yeah, they do reviews. And that is one of the things I was going to add to the list, is that the NCDA has done a really good job on that.
Thank you. Do you have to pay for the GIST transferable skills list? Do you have to pay?
Yes, but it's pretty affordable.
Okay.
It's funny, if I bend over, it's funny. I'm just about to order more.
Okay, no worries.
But it was pretty, I think it might be 60 something for a pack of 25.
Oh, that's not bad. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I ask a general question about the about this issue? Is I also have a lot of people who are interested in career switching now. So if I put on my recruiter hat, I was a recruiter for a long time before this. If I put on my recruiter hat, if I'm looking to fill a role, I'm first going to go to the people who have true experience in the field that I'm looking for. And so the people with transferable skills, I mean, in theory, it's all fine and good, right? You have those same types of skills and you could potentially do that type of work because you did customer service and it's relationship oriented and all of that. But the truth is that they're not really as competitive, let's face it, as somebody who's been in that field specifically. And especially during a pandemic when companies are laying off. I know when I, you know, I do a little recruiting on the side on my weekends. And if I have a client, they say to me, I want somebody with this experience specifically, not somebody who has the skills to potentially do that job. So I know that's sort of like laying it on the line, and I wouldn't say this to my clients, but it does stick in the back of my mind when I speak to clients. So I'm curious if anybody has any thoughts or ideas or recommendations.
No, I agree with you. I mean, especially today when there's so much competition for every job, that's a big problem. I mean, we offer incentives to some employers through a wage subsidy program, you know, where we try, and even that is still difficult because it was, you know, they, it still requires their time and it requires training. And if they have a candidate, a client, you know, somebody that they can just fit right into the job, they'd rather even have that. So it's really difficult when the economy is great and there's, you know, they need the, there's more jobs than there are people, then it's easy. But in today's economy, it's really tough. It's really, really tough.
I'd like to comment for a second. I mean, well, we're telling people right now, you know, what you're absolutely saying is very difficult to make a transition. So we're working with people on short-term plans and trying to talk to them about if they can try to stay in their industry or not change a lot about their job right now, and a year or two, maybe get a certification while you're working at home, and then you'll be more prepared for that career switch. And then we're also telling people that, you know, typically we've encouraged, you know, Indeed and LinkedIn and then go and follow up, but that the only way to really do a career transition right now is with networking. And it's got to be someone who really has a lot of confidence in you and knows that you can step into that role, and it would be a short learning curve.
Thank you.
I remember back in the Great Recession, there were so many people out of work, so many people. And I was really amazed in Boston to note that a lot of people came in for career counseling, because it was a psychological thing. It was an emotional thing. They said, I was in, investment, whatever. I was in a high pressure job, and what good is it? You know, it's not my fault that I got laid off. The company was offshore or whatever. And people said, you know, I'm going to get off this treadmill and I'm going to finally think about what I can do that gives me more satisfaction. So, you know, even though logically what you're saying makes sense, people should stay in their own field if they want to become reemployed in a tough time, it was very different. People said, forget it, I'm not doing this anymore. Life is too short. I'm now going to look
for something. But didn't those people have money that they could, you know, make that kind of career switch? Because so many people don't.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I'm saying the psychological aspect can't be overlooked.
Undervalued, right.
And I want to say, sort of to build on a lot of what everybody else said, I think that one of the things that you mentioned, you know, there are certain things you're not going to say to a person, but I think there are certain things that you need to say to a person. I'm not saying that you weren't going to say them, but I think the reality about the kind of transition they're talking about and the sort of difficulty of making that transition. And then talking about the networking, talking about making it, like all that Gary said, all the really important things you need to do. And then, and one of those things they also need to do is pay attention to the reality that it is harder when you're not fitting right in, and then give them the tools to make the decision or to think about what those options are, given all of those pieces, because it is, everything everybody has said that I've heard is true. And as Judy added, the psychological may overpower the, you know, what's going on with the, how difficult it is, which is not untrue. It's, you know, it's, there's, and yeah, so that I just remembering that, letting people know and then giving them all the data they need to then figure out what's most important. And then people can decide, and our role is to make sure they get as much information as they can and think about those things.
I've had people that have, they think, you know, now's a good time to for me to plan, and I'll just start thinking and, you know, work with you. And then all of a sudden the, you know, the hounds have been unleashed, and they're on a roll, and they say, you know, I think I'm going to start going. And I say, that's great. It's always a good time to look. Know that it might take you a little longer, and as long as you're willing to be patient, that's awesome. But at the same time, sometimes for some positions, there are fewer people applying because people might be gun shy for whatever reason. So you might get lucky. I got a text right before I got on the call from somebody I'm working with who's a nonprofit executive director who had all this, you know, mental baggage about it. She said, I'm afraid to write the cover letter. I said, we're on Zoom. I said, why don't we just start writing a few things? Well, she contacted me the next day. She did the whole thing. It was beautiful. That was last week, and now she has an interview. So that's just one example. The momentum just took over. So it's a good thing, I think.
Right. I think what everybody said is true. Is of course you would never want to discourage anybody, but you just want to give a reality overlay. And yes, I'm all for, you know, get a lot of things out there, toss a wide net out, and you never know what could come back. I also tell people during this time period right now in December, not so many people are applying for jobs because everybody's sort of chilling and shopping and relaxing. Yeah. So now there are a lot of jobs out there that are getting a lot fewer candidates. So now's a great time. I think the point is, yes, you just a reality check. Like Amy said, like just know all your options, understand them so that you have that framework in your head when you go out to look for something.
The thing that I think makes sense to the people that I work with is that everything is so unpredictable now. And they feel like, oh yeah, this is another thing that's unpredictable. So, okay.
They like everything like, okay. Else.
Yeah.
And I also think that, you know, as we lay the foundation for people to look at, you know, what their strengths are, what their skills are, how those all come together and how they can look at those and where they can use them immediately and where they can look a longer term plan, mm-hmm. a short term plan, a longer term plan, without taking away that little bit of hope. I know that Amy and Judy and I both all saw that so much during the Great Recession, was giving people a reality check was important, but being very careful not to take away that hope and allow people to build on it as they can. You know, that I think that's very important because that was the tweak. I think in so much of the hard times that so many people came through, and whether they can financially make the move that they want to make, sometimes just thinking that they could, if you give them enough information to make their own decisions and make those decisions wisely, then they will always make the right decision for them. But being careful not to pull away from that hope, because that hope is what they're after and that's what they're seeking out, or what we saw so much of, especially in the long-term unemployed and the people who threw up their hands and said, I want off this hamster wheel. So much of that. And I'll just add one other really quick thing. We found it very helpful to use Strength Finders and along with some of the other and helping people pull out and tease out where their strong core set of skills are and being able to talk about them and position them as long as along with those very specific skill sets. And being able to represent those and talk about them often helps people making a transition speak to that skill set and tease out the experience that they have so they can talk to a recruiter or an employer about, I may not have done this exact job, but here are the skills that it takes to do that. And here's where I have had that really good experience with that. And here's why I think I can move into this type of position and make a difference immediately. And good recruiters can flesh that out and help them with that as well. I often find helping them flesh that out for themselves moves them along that path, having that good conversation about what their skills are.
Good. Pam, you look like you were one of the.
Yeah, I think going back, I think clients now, I mean, they know it's going to take longer, and I'm finding them more willing to take advantage of training, online learning, things that in the past that a lot of people would say, oh, yeah, I'll do that, and they never got around to it. But now that there's people are so much used to a virtual world and they're so much used to getting online, I'm finding my clients are more apt to take those kind of courses, take advantage of it. Here in Pittsburgh, we also seem to have a lot more employers that are offering different programs and making it more accessible. Whether or not that's going to lead to immediate hiring, who knows? But I'm just seeing that, you know, people are more apt to say, maybe it's a good time to invest my time into learning a new skill and moving forward with that. That's
great, thanks. Lisa A, were you responding to something or no? Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks, Pam. Yeah. All right, good questions, good inquiries here. Thank you for all of you who brought up questions. All right, so we're gonna do a follow up to what we did at the beginning and kind of round out our end of year conversation. I'm gonna go back, and I'm gonna ask you all to see if you remember who was who in their jobs. All right. So, who was it who made $3.25 an hour doing manual inventory at a supermarket? Do you remember?
I do.
Right. Lisa, Lorraine, you be quiet.
Okay.
Who else? Anybody else remember?
You're mixing everybody up. I remember where they were, but now they're somewhere else.
It's like concentration.
It was, yeah.
That's right. All right. Lisa A and Lisa Lorraine remember. Anybody else remember? All right. Lisa A, you go ahead.
Sandra.
Yeah. That's right. I was making the big bucks.
All right.
Made me laugh.
Okay. Who was whose worst job was being a dance teacher?
I remember.
Okay, Barbara.
Christy.
Yeah. I wrote it down. Okay. Who worked at a concession stand as their first job?
That's tough. I think I know.
I think.
Christy, you know? Who do you
think? Cindy.
Cindy. Who was Who won? This is not a job, but who won and whose record is still present?
Everyone else.
Lisa.
Listen, Lisa. It's still my biggest claim to fame. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Who worked at Arthur Treacher's as their first job? Do you remember that? Actually, who worked at Arthur Treacher's and who worked at McDonald's? There were two fast food people whose first jobs were. Okay, Sandra?
Lisa August worked at Arthur Treacher's and you worked at McDonald's, yeah.
Listen, if we had worked in fast food, maybe we'd be co-chairs. Of
That's right, okay. So we had quite a few lifeguards, swim coaches. Name a couple of those. Who were those people?
Cindy, Pam.
Cindy was, yep.
Pam.
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 Lisa.
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 Me. Lisa. And Cindy, I think. Right, Cindy, you were the lifeguard mm-hmm. coach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's everybody.
Okay. We didn't get Judy.
Wait
Judy.
A minute. I know, I'm still going. Oh.
Whoops.
Who worked at a store called Morgan's? They were at the cosmetic counter. Is that a better?
Oh, one? Yeah, the cosmetic counter.
At Morgan's.
Lisa knows, who knows? Sandra, who knows? I know.
Okay, say,
Lisa, who have you tell.
Yeah, Lisa A or Sandra, you remember? Go ahead.
Oh, that was Barbara.
That was Barbara.
Because it's now the Canadian. Day. I miss Canada so much. Miss it. It's awful.
And she went off the call, but who was a corn detasseler?
Sherry.
Sherry.
That might be the best, one of the best jobs I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was cool.
And surprisingly, because probably all of us had some sort of connection with camps, but Judy. Who was an overnight camp counselor?
Judy.
First job overnight camp.
Judy.
And met her
Judy.
Husband.
And met her husband. Yeah.
Met her husband at her job.
Right. Met her husband at her. Right. Okay. So so Gary isn't on, and he was the weekly editor of the newspaper, and Phyllis was a sales associate in Ann Arbor. So
one thing Amy didn't mention, which is important, is that we're switching it up next year. It's 50-minute meetings. This one's an hour and 15, which is awfully long. And especially now that we're on Zoom all day long, but in the future it's 50 minutes so that we have 10 minutes to take a break for our next meeting. So that's just something that's happening. And I also wanted to say that we sent out an end of the year survey. So if anyone hasn't done it, do it. We want to hear from you, need your input, right? I sent it out to this group already. So if you haven't done it, do it, please. And that would be great for us to, you know, make sure that we're doing what you all need and want and how we can improve.
Yeah. So happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. All the best for the new year.
Happy holidays. Okay. Thank you all for being here. You guys are doing great work. Hang in there. Nothing can be done without you. I'm not kidding. You are really important. Our essential heroes.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.